Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As we migrated more of our business to the cloud, we were seeing expenses go up, but we couldn't pinpoint the cause. It seemed less of a cloud, more of a fog. That's why we brought on Cloud Optimizer. And they save the day.
Are you seeing your cloud hosting bills go up and you're not sure why? It's time to put Cloud Optimizer to work for you. Cloud Optimizer analyzes usage patterns, right-sizes resources, leverages discounts you may not be aware of, implements automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service.
With Cloud Optimizer, we have our spend under control. Our company is more agile, profitable, and we're getting peak performance from our cloud.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season, where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Blair, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history it is revealing about who you are?
For once, it wasn't something so damning. The top was just yellow velvet pillow. So just do with that what you will.
I will. Decorating?
You know, my apartment keeps becoming progressively brighter and brighter everywhere. It's starting to look like fucking Lollipop Land. I don't know. I'm really trying to, like, I need to create my own bright world inside these walls, right. You know? So yeah, that's what's going on.
You got yellow tinted glasses, so all velvet pillows are going to be a little yellow for you right now.
Save money. Just get white pillows. Put those glasses on. Cut the search down by a lot.
Whoa, this is why you have friends. Two geniuses.
No, I tried doing that and Her Majesty did not like when I was offering that as a solution for things. Oh, let's just put on different colored glasses. Now it looks like how we want it.
Yeah. It's not the point.
Okay, to you.
I will say a little bit of a silver lining lately is that it's no longer getting dark at like 5. And so I find myself going outside every once in a while, and the sky looks like like a unicorn frap from
missed those.
Starbucks.
Yeah. Frap just came out of nowhere for me. I love it. Yeah.
Did you know you're supposed to freeze those when you buy them at the store?
Wait, really?
I saw some TikTok, you know how TikTok be like, oh, this is going to fuck your whole head up. And right. I was like, yeah, do your worst. What? And it was those glass Frappuccino pre-made shits you buy at the store. Oh. Like you freeze them like just a little bit before it becomes full ice block.
A little bit.
And then you just spin it around and then you got a frap. And I was like, damn, I didn't even think about that. I was
just drinking that. They didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Cool as hell.
Yeah.
Just a little thing.
Yeah, just brightening your environment. That's like one thing. That's the next level up of like actually doing something, that like I can't get to. My desk is a complete disaster of like old gum wrappers and
if these desks could talk, Jack.
Yeah.
You and both you and
okay.
Mine.
You're doing great. I mean, you're hosting this goddamn podcast for the entire nation every day. I think you're really showing up hard. Who cares about a rapper on your desk?
Thank
a
you.
Little bitch rapper.
The most color I have is a bottle of acetaminophen and some old Trident, yellow Trident. So,
oh, man.
That acetaminophen, which, by the way, I don't think I've ever pronounced fully, looks yeah. really gorgeous in that bottle.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's a little blue and red. They had to up the game a little bit to evoke Tylenol with the Kirkland brand signature.
Wait, that's how you say it? What is it?
Acetaminophen?
I love Kirkland brand.
I thought it was Ace Tammy Nofen. All right, well, I was taught to break it up into manageable chunks.
Okay,
Ace
well,
Tammy Nope Hen.
I cannot even believe the amount the audience has been educated already in these first 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Wild.
You're welcome, and that's a free education for this podcast.
The only reason I know that is a White Stripes song where he sings, I see the medicine. You seen the medicine. He rhymes. Yeah.
Some kind of genius.
I was like,
huh?
What the fuck is he saying? yeah, some kind of genius. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
My search was the truth about Dolly Parton's 11 siblings.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton. I love her. Wait, what
so
were you going to say?
My search terms like come across like I've suffered some sort of head trauma. I'm like, Dolly Parton, 11 siblings has? Question mark. But
has?
Yours,
you, she can you, has 11 your siblings?
Your search is like straight up like a clickbait headline.
It's like Dateline NBC.
Yeah, no, that's true.
The way you read it, I thought you just straight up copied the text of a clickbait, like, you know,
it
right.
is.
Ad, oh, and then you just okay. Google, oh, okay. I thought you were just, that's just how you search shit. I'm like, this
the
is
the truth about
riveting.
Dolly Parton. I forgot.
Wait, so
but
what happened? What is this?
No,
thing?
It's just she has, I'm listening to her audiobook, which is amazing. She has one on Audible, which it goes through all of her songs. She talks about, and it's her talking, she talks about the history behind all of her songs. And if you just love Dolly and like, she just sounds like someone's sweet aunt that's right. like offering you sweet tea and giving you a hug. She's amazing. Mm. Aside from all the things she did during this pandemic and the Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter protest, she's just an amazing woman. But yeah, so she was talking about her pa and her siblings, and she like kept rattling names off. I'm like, how many siblings does this woman have? She's 11.
What?
And it's wild. And she's just done so much philanthropy with all of her money, and also her husband. People don't know this. She's been married once to the same man since like the 60s, but you
That's
never see him.
Yeah,
she's figured that out. She's
that's
figured
the secret.
Out like, that's the secret to. So he's just a millionaire with her, living it up in their mansion. Whenever she comes home, he's there. That's her stay at home husband.
Damn, so, the photos of him are great.
There's barely any.
I know, it's like three from the 80s, mm-hmm. yep. two from the 70s, and then like the last one must have been from like 2004.
He just stays off, you know. But it's really funny in the book, you guys, she's like, everyone thinks I had an affair with such and such, or everyone thinks I slept with so and so, and I'm not saying anything, but like you guys can think. So I'm like, girl, I think it's funny when people don't confirm, like, it would be like, of course I didn't, but she didn't say that. So I'm like, I wonder if he's chill, like, as long as he gets to be a multimillionaire right. with her, if he's like, sure, have an affair with Burt Reynolds or whatever. Right. People think that she had an affair with, like, multiple different men that she's worked with, but I mean, maybe she has.
She's actually, right. these are Carl's birthday wishes for me.
As long as he gets to, you know, get some pictures.
Of, yeah.
Smell the sheets after.
Wow.
Yeah, the pictures of him are dope, especially like from the 70s and 80s. He's...
And the later ones too, because you're like, this motherfucker must be cool as shit because he looks like a fan taking a photo and she's loving it. I'm like, in a way, it makes you more curious, but that's the real power. Like, people who don't share shit, they have it figured out. Because that's truly like the last thing you can keep to yourself is your privacy.
Yeah.
Without like going full throttle into like the, look at me, take a photo of me over here. This is my, that shit. Yeah. Like it burns out. And I think it only just magnifies her, you know, the mystique around it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolly Parton's got secrets and that's what makes her cool. Secret husband, secret tattoos, although not secret as many siblings. As people think. Secret yeah. 11 siblings.
Wow.
Yo.
Do you think people go out there and lie that they're one of Dolly Parton's like nieces or nephews
oh,
in
hell
the same
yeah.
way? Like people say they're related to Bob Marley because that's the one you always hear. Oh, you know, that's Bob Marley. That's like the third cousin of Kaimani Marley because there's so many Marley kids. I wonder how many, like if that's the same thing out in Appalachia.
I hear that with Disney, because a lot of people have that last name, or like they're more than you would think, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so does that mean that they're all related to Walt Disney? Because that's a pretty unique last
right.
name. Is everyone that has the last name Disney related to Walt Disney? I don't know.
Chime in. Let us know.
Chime okay, in. Let us you. Know. Zykang with the last name Disney.
Yeah. Also let us into Club 33.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So my best friend just got engaged, so that's really congrats. Exciting, but I've been trying to find her a book because she always told me that she was saving her back door till marriage, mm-hmm. and and I want to find a book, anal for beginners. So my search has been copious amounts of just very serious, straightforward how to have butt sex, but I want mm-hmm. something light and funny and... It's been a time.
Couldn't you just combine your talents, like take a very clear guide and then use your animation around it or like your drawings around it?
I mean, that's
it?
The book that America needs.
I mean, that's a bestseller right there, Kim. I hate to just give you a $3 billion idea like that, but I'm buying it.
Hold on. It's going to be $4
million. Okay. Okay. Yep. I'm there.
Top tier pun.
Is everything like just super like medical? Like you're saying it's like either... Too, like
it
very
is.
Straightforward or so wacky it doesn't have any useful information?
Yeah, it's like what foods to eat.
Okay.
If you feel like you can, you have to use like certain plugs to work yourself up to going to that. It is very medical and not something I want to give her for her bridal shower.
Right.
So
someone looks like a Merck medical manual or something.
Like, exactly. I was looking for like the Spencer's version. There has to be one out there.
Right.
So
this is kind of like those moments where someone says, how'd you think of it, Kim? You're sitting on a on a butt sex book empire. What's the secret? You're like, I was looking for something that wasn't there. So I made it.
It was a thoughtful gift that just made me millions.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what happened to that friend. I never gave her the book because I just got so rich. I sort of lost sight of everything, but I wish her well. I feel like that's like a weird thing because especially in this country, we have such taboos around sex that it's like we can't even make a jokey book, like something that's fun. It's either like so straightforward
right?
or it's like otherwise it can't be too casual or whatever. It's yeah. I mean, Zykang, dial in. Does other countries have whimsical anal sex manuals? Let us know.
I would love a whimsical anal sex manual. Like there... Joy of Sex, I have that one. And that one is pretty straightforward. It's not
right.
so much scientific, but it's like how to please your married partner. Like
right.
it won't even talk about just having sex for fun.
Right.
Right. Right, you're married, your lawfully wed partner in front of God, who you've kissed and agreed to be in holy matrimony with in front of God and everyone.
Damn, this is just a chapter on foreplay.
Leave room you for freak. Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
Wash your hands, use a brush to clean under your fingernails for 17 minutes. It's like, what the fuck?
Does The Joy of Sex talk about anal?
It did not.
Huh.
See, that's another problem.
Yeah, this is a cultural blind spot that you need to come and fill in for us, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, we've had like 7 puns already, guys.
Yeah.
Right. It's yeah, there. Yeah.
We don't even have to. And we don't have to do, you know, Michael Scott type jokes, or you can say that again. We just know because we're adults talking about whimsical anal sex manuals.
Thank you. I did want to ask what the dietary recommendations are for leading up to going anal.
All right. Well, it's just good etiquette not to have anything spicy, because going in, going out, you know, it's bad.
Spicy in, spicy out. Yep. We know that
mm-hmm.
one.
Anything that you are delicately inclined to. So personally, cheese, fondue, as romantic as it is, you cannot finish the date with...
a bunch of molten cheese.
If you want chocolate fondue both ways, it's great. But just really stuff that your body will respond enthusiastically to.
Got it. Keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple.
And
keep
does it
simple, keep it straight.
Maybe eat a dry hot dog bun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avoid the fiber one for a day.
Right.
Just for your loved ones.
Put the vindaloo down. You know what I mean? You can have Indian another night.
How early does the preparation start? Is it like days in advance, or what are we talking?
Usually day of, like if you know day you're of. Getting okay. some. Yeah.
This seems like a scene in a comedy where like the person is clear. Like, and like and how much earlier, like what's like the cutoff you gotta do that? Just
I'm
curious.
I'm more curious like from dietary perspective, like because it seems like you would wanna almost like the clean break of it all is kind of nice, you know?
It's the shit you don't think about, right. honestly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Comes out of nowhere.
And also, you know, make sure you got that tushy, that bidet attachment.
Yes.
You
know I
mean? Always power wash that thing.
Yes. My kids are obsessed. Oh, my God. My two-year-old, who we are potty training, accidentally turned on the tushy while he was sitting on the toilet and is traumatized. Oh. He calls it the circle thing. But now they're like obsessed with it, and they like if you turn the tushy on when nothing's sitting on it, you're just getting a jet stream shooting out of the toilet. And they're it's a constant battle, and they
won't. Oh, so it's a toy now.
Yeah, it's a
that
toy.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
as long as it's not the water fountain.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we use it as like a you know teeth cleaning implement.
Water
for
pick.
Everything. Yeah, water pick.
I was actually thinking about this today. Like last year, about this time, everyone freaked out here about toilet paper, but no one did in Europe or anything. And I'm wondering if it's because we 100%. Have not adopted, the bidet.
I mean, look, I hate to do an ad on Mike, but I used to fucking sometimes. You look, everybody knows you could wipe for 30 days. It seems like it never ends. But with the bidet, it's just in general, the paper usage is so much lower. Like for me, it's just drying off my butthole. That's what I use the paper for.
Yeah.
It's not wiping anymore. It's just purely for drying. How do I do
like,
what?
Dry. Like it seems just damp and I don't want to put my pants on, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I take like what I do is I'll take a big... like a the widest piece of toilet paper folded over I can do. And then I just kind of lay it on and then try and get it to absorb everything.
Okay.
What I also do is I sit for like 3 minutes too after and let that shit drip dry. And then I'm on my phone anyway. So like sometimes I forget and then the shit's already dry naturally. So you never know. Everyone's got different bidet techniques.
Yeah. I rest atop the heating vent for a little while.
Yeah.
Just let it.
Ooh.
Get the get the hair dryer out. Get the hair dryer out. Yeah. The
relax your butthole, that helps too.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of my favorite podcasts, Las Culturistas, talks about this sometimes, and they talk up the value of poppers for those purposes. But one thing that I thought was amazing about like Rush Limbaugh's Obits, like one of the ones I read, was talking about how he like became a nationalist and like the, you know, monster that he was after traveling to Europe. And sorry, my four-year-old has joined us in the studio. And do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Say hi. Hi, Kim. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Miles.
Hey, don't fear the circle thing.
embrace the circle thing.
Embrace it.
And he was talking about how bad the toilets were in Europe. He was like, this is what you call a toilet over here? And that's when I realized America's like years in advance. It's like, no, dude, it's just that they weren't built for 300-pound people like you who like and like who don't know how to use a bidet. Like I don't know. It was just wild that it was such a like me-centric, everything I do is right version, like outlook on the world that then
right.
sent our entire country down this path of just degradation. Anyways.
Anti-bidet propaganda.
There yes. All right. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, let's move on to COVID news, which is positive, but there's like a silver lining of shit that I'd like to talk about. So India, we're seeing cases, as we talked about last week, drop across the around the world. And people aren't quite sure why they're dropping, because like there's no single explanation that would make sense. There's not enough people who are vaccinated yet. Antibody testing, for instance, India is seeing one of the biggest drops, suggest only 1 in 5 people in India had the virus. So herd immunity on its own doesn't explain it. They're in general better at masking than the United States, but the drop is uniform across locations, even locations with poor mask adoption. So as I was reading up on this, and I think, you know, the question is open, and I think it's probably a combination of all these different things combining to draw the rate of transmission down. But as I was going through this AP article on the drop, I realized that like India is still, even at the high point where they were measuring from, it was still like below one person per 100,000. And I started just kind of like digging through, and it's like China, same, Japan, same. And this is like just over the past few weeks, but Japan, South Korea, their numbers per 100,000 are orders of magnitude away from what you're seeing in the United States, UK, Germany, Italy, Spain, South and Central American countries. And, you know, this has been like the Wall Street Journal wrote about this back in October about like how this trend is, you know, happening. But I feel like we don't see it brought forward as like like the Asian societies that they looked at in the Wall Street Journal. Like they interviewed people and they were like, oh yeah, like we're looking at you guys like a cautionary tale. And every time there's like a slight uptick, we all mask up because what's happening in your countries is a disaster. But I feel like the other side of that, it's not being treated as like a, this is what you could have like sort of thing. It's just like even the degree to which like people are, like there's the anti-Asian racism that we're seeing, like attacks on elderly Asian Americans. And like these are nations that, and like that people suspect that that's associated with the pandemic. And like the story, not that there should ever be like any sort of attacks on anyone, but like the story should be that those countries are like dramatically kicking our ass in terms of like how they approach the virus, how they controlled the virus, how they continue to control the virus. It's just kind of a story that I feel like should be the main story and is getting underplayed, because I think a lot of it is cultural stuff, like, you know, people valuing the well-being of other people in other countries as opposed to in the United States, where like the first or the biggest new social media trend is anti-mask groups, like people fighting right for the right to not wear masks.
Yeah. And I think maybe even like the way it's reported is like they don't want Americans to catch wind of how much better people are treated in other countries too.
Exactly.
Like, because you do that, you're like, well, let's also talk about like wage subsidies for places like Korea or Japan. Right. And how they immediately said, oh, well, we're going to have to take care of people's rents, because if they got to stay inside, then they can't have the crush of trying to go out to make money. Then we can give them food, whatever. Like, that was like the beginnings of thinking about how to create relief. And yeah, I think that to me was like one of the few things I barely see reported about comparing what life has been like existing in the United States as a person who may have lost their job versus these other countries, because that would piss you the fuck off and you'd be like, what is going on? But that is, I think that's another really underreported side of things. It's more like, huh, what's going on over there? Rather than, we might have a problem with toxic individualism that's literally killing the country. These countries for centuries, for eons, have been on a philosophical plane about taking care of each other or duty to the community and things like that, that are playing out as we see in this way too. Because I talk to my Japanese relatives and it's there's so many things like that we'll compare and contrast how it's head scratching. Some things are like, you wouldn't wear a mask? Like, people, why wouldn't people wear a mask? I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to explain that to you.
Yeah, it's very difficult to explain. And people, like, what the last time I complimented or said Japan was doing better than the United States, people were like, it's actually not that great. And there are definitely like ups and downs in other countries, just like the United States has had. It's just that their ups and downs are so much smaller than ours. Like, the max of the India spike that they were talking about was like 40,000 or 400,000 people, which, you know, is a nation of, it's like three times the population of the United States. So it's like, it's just nothing compared to what we're seeing in the United States. And I feel like the order of magnitude of the problem that we've had with this comparatively is just kind of being ignored by the media, because I think people don't want to acknowledge it.
The idea of wearing a mask as any loss of freedom, like, that's not even saying anything about what you can do or where you can go, anything like that. It's like the smallest thing. And when I see these people, like, where they're making that their, like, their movement, anti-mask, I mean, it's such a micro issue in the whole thing of freedoms. To me,
what's funny, the thing is, you could never try and explain to that person, like, wouldn't you say that your outsized response to this is indicative of a lifetime of always being unhindered and always doing whatever the fuck you wanted to? Like, relative to that, is that what you think you're maybe pushing back? They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's hard. You can't get someone to see that. But for so long, I mean, so many of the gripes or the consistent thing is just about, like, you're not going to control me or make me think that this, rather than like, okay, more than that, do you give a fuck about other people?
I was just going to say, on a basic level of manners, regardless of if you even fucking believe in science, the idea of ever thinking that me not wearing a mask could harm someone else, regardless if I cared about health or self-harm, like, if there's a possibility, science, that I could do that, I'm wearing a mask.
I wonder too, I'm trying to put myself in that position, because if I did that, then for me to consider that, I would have to then extrapolate situations in which I might harm another person, which then might trigger thoughts about mortality, which I'm not ready to engage in at all. Or there's something deeply uncomfortable about having to think about something like that. So it's easier to just be like, nope, kill switch, engage, fuck a mask, freedom, blah, 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 blah. Cause it's actually this other shit. Again, those, what they call thought killing, cliches, basically.
I guess that's wild to think about it like that, as like denying on a,
but think about how people's minds work. We all have friends who will somehow, they will completely avoid a specific topic of conversation, no matter what. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't need to know, but I clearly, that's not something you're ready to talk about. And even though it's not a hot button issue, that's what it is. And I think for some, it's like that sort of same thing, like this idea of mortality or that responsibility to others is like real. for whatever reason, is frying a bunch of people's circuits. And they're just resorting to like, nope, don't want to engage that. Don't even want to have a real discussion about that because it makes me so uncomfortable to even think about that, that I'm just going to resort to this like personal freedom argument that has no like intellectual weight to it.
I think people have applied it a whole, like used it as the placement for their anger. I made it that for another enemy, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, you'll hold a door for someone, but you won't wear a mask. You know what I mean? It's like literally
it's just polite.
It's all just it boils down to manners for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is. I mean, it's a broad cultural like values problem. It's not that the people in the United States are inherently born more selfish. It's that the value set in the United States has trained them to think this way. I mean, this Brown University School of Public Health dean said, in the U.S. and Europe, we wanted to get our lives back, so we acted as if the virus was under control. In Asia, they were not in denial. They understood they can have their lives back if they follow certain precautions. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of a very straightforward way of looking at it. Another issue that there is in this Wall Street Journal article is that a lot of the spread in Western Europe has been linked to young people. And that, I think, gets at something that's probably at the core as well as like that makes Western countries and communities worse at dealing with this is the fact that other like Eastern countries actually value their elders and are more like, whereas in the West, it's like
the antithesis.
It's the antithesis. It's the, you know, they, I mean, that's that scene in No Country for Old Men when he goes and visits his dad and he's like just in a trash strewn heap with like flies all over the place because nobody, like, he's like, once you're no longer useful in America, you just get kind of thrown to the curb. Like, you're, yeah. Like, it's just all about usefulness to capitalism. And then once you're old, like, we try not to think about you because it's...
You're bumming us out with, you're like, bumming how us old out. You are.
Yeah, and
that's
it's...
That's really sad.
Because it goes back to, wait, because the thing is, rather than embracing the wisdom that comes with age, right, the U.S. culture is about the pursuit of escaping mortality, to escape aging, to escape these things, to forever be in this mindset of, like, just, man, just fucking kid, man, just a youth. Yeah. Like, you know, there was like this, there's a book called like The Death of the Grown Up that sort of like maps this like huge sort of cultural swing away from like being an adult, like coming from like boomers and stuff, because rock stars became big and everyone's like, oh, I want to be a fucking rock star. And then like these parents who were like, I'm more of a friend than a parent. Like, it all kind of had this wave, right, of like changing our viewpoints on what an adult even is, and especially in U.S. society. And yeah, we're looking at it now. And again, the idea of being safe, that someone could die, mortality, fuck that. And also our youth culture is all based on like so much social media shit about being out, doing shit, not being at home, not helping people. Your drip is so intense that the fucking, you got to call a plumber. You know, like, it's just, it's emphasized all the things that when you go into this, you're like, of course that's the direction it went in, because that's just like the residual momentum we were going in, especially for our consumer culture. But yeah, for kids especially.
What is something you think is overrated?
All right. I'm going to get mad about this. Gift cards.
Yes.
Gift cards are so overrated. If you just think about it, you're just giving me cash I can only spend at one place. Why not just Venmo me? You're literally giving me cash that I can only spend in one place. And if I don't buy something worthy of, or that's worth all of it, then I just got like $1.52 on a gift card.
Right.
I'm salty about it. Or the alternative happens where I buy something worth it and now I got to pay $11 in tax or something. Right. And I'm like, just, I don't understand why, like, the only way gift cards should work should be like this, right? You give me a gift card for $50, but it costs you like $45.
Right.
Like,
right.
There should be some, I know, I understand someone would somebody would go and buy 150 gift cards and they would make all that extra money. I get it. If there's a way to solve that, I hope there is. But otherwise, gift cards are so overrated. I don't see, it's just money I can only spend one place. You're just limiting my money.
It's peak like corporate brainwashing. because it's like it's only a thing because we've allowed it to be a thing because it's like a social custom. It's like, oh, a gift card. Well, it has gift right there in the name, so it's a fine thing to give people, but it's just giving the corporation money. It's making a donation to corporations because I think they say like 50% of them don't get used. So yeah, you're just giving money to the company.
And it wasn't until like the 20 some years ago when they actually had to be like, oh, right, a gift card is legal tender. Like you can't be suddenly like, oh, it expired. Because a lot of places were pulling that shit in the 90s. I was like, oh, but this Blockbuster Music is about to close. And they're like, it's expired, son. Thank you.
I thought of this because, you know, when I was scheduling this thing, I was like, you know, I have a AMC gift card in my wallet. And it's been there the whole damn pandemic. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going back to an AMC for 14 years. What am I supposed to do with this?
That shit might not exist by that point.
Like an AMC gift card. Come on now.
But also, too, like it's cultural. Like in Asian culture, like you give people straight cash.
Yeah.
Like that's not a problem. That ain't no problem. That ain't no problem. Because you just know that's for the kids. That's for the kids.
That's and no problem.
Know, yeah, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem. That's what I took that. They're like, I'm, you know, and I remember people would apologize, like, oh, you know, I know it's your birth, but all I could give you was this heavy ass envelope. And I'm like, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem.
You don't have to give me you don't even have to give me a heavy ass envelope. You can cash at me. You can Venmo
whatever.
Me.
Yeah,
you can,
exactly.
You can,
but then,
you can Coinbase me.
To the point where I don't like giving a gift card feels like disrespect because it's essentially the same thing as getting a CVS Valentine's Day gift. You know what I mean? Like this last minute is fuck. Unless it's like something so specific and like interesting. If you hit me with that Best Buy thing, I'm like, what?
Yeah, just hit, hit the Cash App. Hit the Cash App.
The one thing, like, if somebody knows that you want to spend the money on something, like, and you feel like you need that excuse to spend the money on something, that can be one way that it's like worth it. Like if, it, for instance, StockX should have gift cards because then people would, I feel like, I don't know. I've had multiple times when I was like, I would actually buy a StockX gift card for somebody so that they had to spend the money on something that was going to be super fun for them.
I get that. Like my mother never does any like pampering stuff for herself.
Right. Yeah.
So like,
exactly.
Like if I got her like a spa day gift card, I get that because.
And ain't no immigrant mom going to waste some shit.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the only way you can get him to do it. Like, oh, you're gonna waste it? They're like, fuck, you got me.
My mom has so much. My mom has so much pride in being like, I've had these shoes for 14 years. There's three holes in them, and I still wear them. And I'm like, why are you proud of that? Go get new shoes.
You're like, why the bottoms of your feet are fucked up?
It's
like,
so funny.
Please wear
like,
these new shoes.
It's so funny that like Indians make such a point of coming to this country and then living like they did back in India. Like I still have holes in my shoes and I walk every day.
My mom's the same where she just talks shit about Americans. I'm like, motherfucker, you got a passport now. Like she's like, you know, that's what American people do, like doing all this. And I'm like, you're okay, whatever. But you know, do you? I get it. We still gotta hold on. We still gotta keep our sense of identity.
My mom uses the word American when she means white. Cause it feels rude for her to say white people. Like she's really afraid of saying white people. So she'd be like, what, do you think I'm like these Americans? And I'm like, you mean white people, I think. I think you mean white people when you say that.
No.
She used to say Justin's mom when she meant another white woman. She would be like I'd be like,
that rules.
I'd be like,
mom. All right, Justin's mom. That could be
a couple
Karen.
Of Justin's moms over here, huh?
She would be like, she would go, I'd be like, mom, I want to stay. So we have this arcade that used to be like open until midnight and you could pay $20 and it could be like a club feel for a bunch of 15-year-olds. And so I'd be like, she'd be like, we're picking you up at 10. I'm like, mom, it starts at 9:30. I'm not getting picked up at 10. I need to at least get picked up at 12. Right. And then she'd be like, what do I look like, Justin's mom? And I'm like, who's Justin?
Oh, wait, there Justin. Wasn't even the homie named Justin?
No, it was just like, I look like Justin's mom. I think Justin was like the name in her head for like, obviously
all
white a white
kids.
Guy.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Not Ryan and Justin. Yeah.
What do I look like, Justin's mom?
I wish I had Justin's mom.
Oh, I loved that. I really remember.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's so funny. Now I look back on it and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I love her. She was amazing. And back then I was like, I hate you.
Right, yeah, right.
Justin. I think there was a point when I was like in fourth grade where I had like at least three Justins in my class.
It was a real
Ohio white kid name, for sure.
Where in Ohio, Jack?
Dayton.
Oh, Ohio. Dayton. My best friend's from Dayton, Ohio. Will Allen. I don't know if you know Will Allen, but probably
I haven't. I moved out of there when I was 12.
I mean, Dayton's only like what, 4 million. People
We probably ran cross paths for sure.
Beth,
really
Stelling.
Worried about your memory, Jack. Hold on, Will Allen. Think, you didn't ring a bell. I think
Beth Stelling is from Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, great culture, great people from Dayton, Ohio. All right, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up.
And we're back. Finally, let's just talk about the Mortal Kombat trailer. I told the story of how when I went and saw the original Mortal Kombat movie with my friend in middle school, as we were leaving the theater, this dad and his kid who had been in the theater pulled up in front of us, rolled down their window and screamed, "Mortal Kombat!" And I was like, so embarrassed for him.
Like, fuck yeah.
But this trailer made me spend the morning driving around my neighborhood shouting Mortal Kombat at random passersby.
Oh, do you need something? Mortal Kombat!
All right, what?
The trailer is fucking wild. The Red Band trailer.
Yeah.
Just straight up, Jax has his arms are bionic because they got frozen off and blown off.
That's okay. One of my favorite creative kill tropes is when someone freezes a human body part and then it shatters like crystal, yeah. Even though that can't be what happens, right? But maybe. I don't know.
Well, you can if with like liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
Right. Liquid nitrogen, but then like would your bones also just shatter as easily as your frozen blood?
I'd imagine
crystals?
That everything would have to get that cold, right? To right. get to that point.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I remember I did a video back in the day where like we were dipping shit in liquid nitrogen and breaking it. And a lot of shit like
I think, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Shit is don't fuck around with it. I don't know okay. how I got it. They were just dude was selling it behind Toys R Us.
I will put this vat of liquid nitrogen away. I was just about to try that shit out. But.
Yeah, but I'm trying to offload some of this shit. So if you want some liquid nitro, hit me up on Twitter.
No, I'm okay. I'm not a girly girl, but I've never got into like the real just sit back and let your mind watch an action movie type of thing. But I did watch the trailer this morning and I just got intense nostalgia for going to a pizza place and playing the shit out of that game.
Right.
Yeah.
It has a great look.
That smell
to it.
Your hands stinking like tokens that have been touched by 10,000 little germy kids.
And grease. And then fill in your soda cup with all the different flavors of soda.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What y'all call that? Suicide or swamp water?
We called it suicide.
We called it a graveyard.
It was more badass.
Yeah.
Graveyard.
Oh, see, I heard cool. I did suicide was what I heard on the West Coast. And then I remember going to like somewhere in New England or somewhere on the East Coast and kids called it swamp water.
Swamp
water. I like
water.
Graveyard, though. Graveyard fucking hits.
Hit me a graveyard.
Just like,
it was the worst, the fucking worst thing you could drink, too.
Yo. Especially with the orange soda in there. Because it was just distinctly orange at the back. You got the Dr. Pepper, then orange.
Orange. And it threw the colors off,
the
too.
Color
because normally
was
it's,
wild.
Just, it's either brown
brownish
or clear.
Orange.
Then you throw that orange in, and now you're like, please. Just your mom. I remember my mom's like, what are you doing? I remember she yelled at me once for doing that shit. Because she was like, that's disgusting. You just drank from that cup and you hitting all the other things. Like, you got to think about other people. And I was like, I'm sorry.
That's still what Rick Carlisle, the coach of the Dallas Mavericks, orders when he goes to a restaurant. Like in his 50s. And he's like, yeah, give me a graveyard or a suicide or whatever he.
That's awesome.
And that did
that
not.
That uncomfortable.
Just, he's like a genius, like literally like a self-taught like piano, like. A concert pianist, like makes
Rick
his own
Carlisle
golf clubs. Yeah, he's like the most interesting dude. But yeah, it was not my dad, but another basketball coach I know once went out to dinner with him and was like blown away that he was like, yeah, can I get a suicide? And the waiter was like, huh? And he was like, yeah, just mix all the different Sprite, Coke,
And for your friend here, I'll have a Glenlivet Rocks.
Right, exactly.
I've never had the balls to do that, and I kind of want to.
That's energy. When the restaurants open back up, baby.
That dude is galaxy brain.
Graveyard.
Yeah. I've done Shirley Temple.
Oh, yeah. Shirley Temple's
that's
great.
Fine. I mean, that's standard. But hitting somebody with, because it's a weird request already, and it doesn't have a uniform, like, there's not a ubiquitous term for it, really. Like, you can't just say it and everybody knows that. You have to go through it, be like, graveyard. Is that like a greyhound? No. Graveyard.
Grey Goose vodka?
Yeah. No. It's every soda you have in the fountain mixed together.
Light ice. Huh? Light ice, please.
Is that an alcoholic drink? No. Just take go down the road.
It's a public pool drink. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Mortal Kombat trailer, just a gif factory of inventive violence at one point. Sub-Zero makes somebody like spout blood and then takes that blood and freezes it into a blood knife that he then uses. It's just is wild. A lot of dope stuff.
That's one I would want to see in theaters. That's something I don't want to watch at home.
Yeah.
No. There's so many movies. It's weird how I've instantly been like, I can wait, even though I thought I couldn't. But I think it's because when I'm left with the binary of the theater experience or at home with my speakers not that tough as they need to be, I'll just throw on some reruns or some shit.
Yeah, I want that blood knife like 4 feet long towering above.
Oh,
how you get the fierce.
Exactly. Right, like I want it. I want to have like a panic attack in the theater watching it because like I haven't been out in so long and then the violence in the film is too intense and I ate too many edibles and I'm just like, they got to stop the movie.
I'm really excited to get back to a movie theater. I think I'm going to
movie theater or movie theater or a crowded restaurant.
Oh, movie theater.
Damn. Ooh. I had a dream the other day of like, you remember walking through a restaurant and be like, oh, I think my friends are in the back.
Yeah.
And you gotta like walk through a crowd and then you're like, okay, so I'm having a birthday party. I had a fucking dream about just finding my people at a restaurant. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's just tight.
What is something you think is overrated, Blair?
Wait, oh yeah, I didn't do that one. Okay, I wanna say what is overrated? Jack and Miles. Okay, yeah. It's the word normalize. Oh, God. It's right up there with adulting now, folks. Makes my skin crawl. When I hear the word normalize, I just want to stop the day right there and go back to bed. Normalize? Right. Nope. I'm done. Good night. See you tomorrow. I hope to begin a new day then.
Yeah. Super normalization, man.
What are the headlines you read that are using overusing it?
Just, you know, the internet is unmatched capacity to make you hate stuff. I expend a lot of energy, like, trying not to be poisoned by that. It's cancer of, like, making you knee-jerk hate stuff. But when you just, like, mindlessly absorb it over and over, everyone's like, normalize, 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 normalize,
right,
normalize,
right. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't read this fucking word one more time. If you're putting it in your tweets, it's garbage.
Hmm. So yeah, that's why you didn't like my tweet. Don't normalize white supremacy.
Wow. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just making sure.
We just never had a live subtweet on that.
I just want to do a A and B column real quick. No, I'm fucking with you.
Okay. I was just going to say, I was like, if I saw that tweet, definitely would have went with something else. Would have made another choice.
I think, yeah, just normalize just means like, is whack. Don't make this thing, acknowledge that this is bullshit.
Right.
Rather than saying, like, don't normalize it, just say, we all know this is horseshit. And we need to be arms locked together in acknowledging this, whatever topic industry is, horseshit.
Yeah, it's just, you know how some like internet words get you. Like, yeah, when I hear adulting, like my body really feels
turns to a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get one of those hats with the little propeller top on top. It grows out of your head. I'm a kid.
One now that one... I'm never getting invited back on this podcast.
Oh, you're coming back no matter what. Yeah. The one thing I hear a lot, though, is like what my one friend said he hates lean into.
Oh,
or lean
yeah.
in. That's the other one. Like, that was the equivalent of him being like, you know what I hear? It's too damn much on the internet. I was like, oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Leaning in. But sometimes I don't know how else to do it. Like, if you're talking about a bit, you got to lean into a bit. I don't know any other way to make that expression. I guess overindulged.
Yeah.
It's too wordy. Too many syllables.
Steer into the spin. That's another version of that.
Yeah, that's
you lost I just thought
extra
of,
aviation. extra old white guy.
I just thought of a little addendum also. Also overrated, loud cars and motorcycles. That's mostly what I spend my time on the internet campaigning against. These very troubled men
pay to make their cars loud and then, you know, just make a whole show careening down the street. And yeah, right. I really, really don't like them. And I think they have little baby dongs.
There's tension in my neighborhood with a loud exhaust at the moment. They have a remote start car and the pipes on here. When I say these pipes are louder than at Wiz Khalifa's house. Because these shits, they freak the fuck out of me. Because out of nowhere, it's like, and I'm like, oh, fuck. But, you know, I get it. Like, you know, people want to have their gearhead life. But at a certain point, I'm like, can't you put like a manner mode on where you're like, let me start this, like keep it low key till I get out of my neighborhood where there might be sleeping people or babies and then turn it up or whatever. But it is what it is.
I hate being like an old man, like a 90-year-old man about it. But I guess I don't know. I am one of the, unfortunately, a highly sensitive person. It really gets in my nervous system really nice.
Is it traffic like by your place that gets you, or just whenever you're, is it just because, or you, for you, you're all about tranquility, turn everything yellow, put the yellow sunglasses on, no, the vibes are yellow.
You know what it is I spend like an hour or two walking outside a day just for my health in the pandemic being inside. Mm-hmm. And it'll always be like right at the moment I'm on the phone with my grandma or something. and then like literally the whole call gets just blacked out by right. some fucking asshole who's right. like, I gotta make up for the pain inside me.
You know? Yeah. I wonder if he's also trying to catch your attention, you know, being like, check me out.
I guess that's never
have
crossed.
A loud car.
That's never crossed my mind. I wear a giant mom visor for sun protection.
Nice. Also, you and my wife should hang out. She's doing the same thing. Hang out and talk about sun protection.
Yep. And then waving her fist angrily at loud cars that pass by.
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't even do that. I don't react at all. I just silently
die a little bit.
Yeah.
Once I heard that I forget which muscle car it was, but one of them, maybe all the like Mustang and Charger and all those cars. When I heard that they had like basically a little speaker in their muffler that was like creating the roar noise, it totally made me look at that. Like, it's just synthetic at this point because you just don't need, like, the cars are sophisticated enough that they don't need to do that anymore, but they are like still just to like give whatever that urge is a place to play. They're creating, they're like playing a sound of an old motor essentially.
Well, yeah, but then it'll play it into your speakers in the car though too to give you the sense that your car is that loud outwardly.
Yeah,
it's just okay.
I am absolutely sickened.
Yeah, but these I get it, you know, people. Like at a certain point it's like, I remember, you know, as a kid, I'd ride a bike, you could hear a car behind you or something,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And I think as it gets quieter, because now in the advent of like hybrids and stuff, and I ride my bike a lot more now, like hybrids sneak up on me pretty easily, but not to the point where it's ever unsafe, but I'm always like, oh, there's a difference sonically in the environment where like I used to hear an old ass car. But
yeah, it's more of it's like a high-pitched whine of like whatever's cooling the computer off is like the thing.
It's never like a slow start though. It's always violent. Like they are slam it on real hard. Like everyone look at me while I make you mad, and you know.
Yeah, or people on like motorcycles. I get sometimes on motorcycles, like they'll rev to like get people's attention because sometimes people are like, but then there are other people who are just like, especially when you're in an overpass, which is a concrete sound chamber, and someone's like, I'm going to turn it up in here. And you're like, please don't. You're going to fuck everything up. And it's like, just too much, too much.
Yeah. That is the thing that Harleys, I guess, are one of the safest motorcycles because they're so loud. And one of the big problems with motorcycles on the road is like drivers of cars just like don't register them because they're not like looking for that sized vehicle, and our brains are stupid computers that are like programmed for very few things. And so people, that's like,
so we need those speakers actually, you know,
hit them. So.
Okay, I'll admit, I've never heard that before, and I just crossed the aisle to the other to understand a little bit more about my foes. And
my foes.
My nemesis, my enemies, and now I know a little bit more about their motorcycle culture, trying to keep themselves safe. The truck's still no excuse, but thank you but for educating me a bit.
Exactly. If you got a 2002 ACT Legend, or a 92 ACT Legend with the wild ass, come on now. We understand. We understand what you're trying to do. Yeah, but it's okay. Nobody's judging you on how loud you can yell for your parents to come back.
Yeah, I was just thinking of like things they could add to the, like in addition to the motor hum, like something like an approving, like,
you're doing great, kid!
From your dad.
Fucking proud of you, man!
I actually am proud of you!
I really did go to get cigarettes, and things just kind of got complicated on the way there. I will return.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.